Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I think we're now doing separate recording, but we're back.
That's fine.
And for editing, we're all good.
So where I wanted to get into ultimately back to the cow. What makes a chair a chair?
Because we call it a chair. It could be something else.
But the chair itself, regardless of the name of the chair, what makes a chair a chair?
Because we could sit on it.
I mean, you could say it's like a platform with four legs. Sometimes it has a back. Sometimes it's something that is made. It's something
sometimes
that
it's
is
got,
crafted by a human. However, I
wheels.
Would say a bucket is a chair.
A bucket
so
is
the,
a chair.
That's what my answer, because you can sit on it. Anything that you can sit on it,
mm-hmm.
you call
a
it
You can sit on the floor.
Chair. It's also a
then
chair.
Then the floor is your chair.
Yeah.
It's not a very good chair. Not great for lumbar support.
But I mean, you could say this. Okay. You could do the same goddamn question with art, because that's always.
But then I think that we're getting back to identity is choice.
That's exactly what he's going to. Yeah.
Oh yeah, lead us there.
I guess that's kind of where I was going. I was more going into like why, at the end of the day, I think identity serves a purpose, whether mm-hmm. it's personal, or as an overall society, or as a vetting mechanism for survival.
Sure.
But it's also, when you said serves a purpose, at some point, to a point.
To a point.
Because it could also be used, and it has been used, and it's always been used to manipulate society, manipulate mm-hmm. people, manipulate intentions, because of that label.
Correct.
You know,
which is where I'm going. Right. So why does identity matter? Like, personally... And then I'll go into what I had. But like,
it doesn't matter. We make it matter.
See, I actually have a different answer to that. It comes back to what you mentioned of like identity being a tool to identify purpose, right? Like some things, identity is its purpose. And I think also purpose is a choice. You know, like, on some level, at least when it comes to people, now we identify ourselves and other things, what the purpose of something is as a choice. What is the difference between a chair and a weapon? How you use it. The purpose you assign to it. If you're swinging a chair at somebody, it's no longer a tool made for sitting. It is now, in that moment, a tool you're using to hit someone. And I think that kind of comes back to like what we choose our purpose to be. Because for me, my identity is important to me. And my identity is myself, as that kind of stands first and foremost. But my identity as a woman, as a trans woman, as a bisexual person, all of those things are qualities about me that I choose to express and that I choose to follow and that I choose to cultivate. And in that sense, those parts of my identity are very crucial to who I want to be and who I'm choosing to be.
It's a way to understand yourself. I think also as a trans person, it's an exploration of a relationship with myself and who I am. And identity, yes, certainly can be used as an oppressive force
mm-hmm.
when it is boxed and labeled and said that there is one certain way to be human. However, I think the basis of identity is asking yourself, what does it mean to be human? And what are the many, many different ways to be human?
And what does it mean to be you?
Yes. Yes, as well.
But your question was...
Why does it matter?
Nah, exactly. Does it matter?
It matters because
it matters because you make it so.
Yeah.
So there's literally nothing against my statement from what you guys both explained.
I guess not, but I do think it kind of falls into a reductive pattern of like, does it matter? And you can kind of zoom out far
enough. We make it matter.
But
individually and collectively, society, and you know, we make it matter. But does it really matter?
Unfortunately, so. We have the argument, yes, nothing in existence matters, so the only thing that matters is what we make matter, right?
That's my whole point.
However, we also live in a society of constructs. in which identity matters, right? So my pussy, the fact that I was born with one, is going to affect me continuously throughout my life, and it will continuously affect me. Certainly the idea of womanhood and feminization and masculinization, none of those identities necessarily matter. However, they have effect. They have effect on livelihood and realities.
It's like asking if money is real.
Remember when we talk about systems? And the only reason why you complain about the system because you're in the system and you're playing the system.
However, we are forced into systems. We are forced.
You're not being forced into a system. You could live outside the system.
I will say, I feel like there is an upper limit to that a little bit. And just in the sense of like, you technically speaking are free to do whatever you want.
That's
but
right.
Who you are, who you choose to be, and how you exist is not the same thing. Like,
make it so.
I would not be who I am if I decided to hurt somebody I just met for no good reason.
It doesn't matter because you make it so.
But that's the thing. My choice, like who I am as a person, how I exist as a person, is defined by the ways that I interact with the world and interact with myself.
Correct.
And if I change that as a consequence of other systems wanting to maintain myself, then that is no longer, you are perfectly free to do whatever you choose. Like, you're free if you want to live without money. And it's like, yeah, you are. You just also need to now find a totally different way to get food and find a place to live and communicate with people and get to places. You know, is money a real thing? No. Is money a real thing? Absolutely. So we reach a point where the philosophy hits a wall, where something is technically true, but not really useful or true in a practical sense.
Which is exactly what I'm saying, because we make it so.
But you're I feel like you're relating individuality, like individual choice, with societal choice.
Collectively.
Right. But those are two different things.
I don't have a negative or a positive, like, defense of that statement.
Mm.
It's just that we as creators, we assign things. It's because we make it so. We have become who we are because we gradually have make it so.
And I do think that's true, but I do think there's also
a
difference.
To me, that's there. It's just, to me, it's a period. And anything else is everybody's right. And there's no, you know, denying it.
Yeah, but okay, so you're saying we make it so, and also what we make does not matter. You're correlating those two.
No, as an example.
Not at all.
Let's say that I'm a person who loves to go on runs.
I'm just doing a reality. The reality is we make it so.
But wait, let's say I'm a person who loves to run. That's part of my identity. I choose to run every day. I choose to go on a jog. I choose to do XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
If a car comes in, a car made by a system, being driven by someone who made a choice to drive that car, and destroys my legs, I am now no longer a runner. I can make other choices in the future to maybe get back to that. If I get prosthetics, if I do XYZ, that's all fine and good. But my individual choice to go running is not what led to that outcome. That outcome was a series of other conditions that happened because of not just my choice, but multiple choices. So I think that you're kind of drawing a one-to-one relationship with, like, yes, fundamentally, the ways that we have shaped ourselves as people and the ways that we have shaped a society throughout history are, in fact, due to conscious choice. But they're not the same thing. Who I am as a person is not the same thing as what society is. They influence each other for sure, but they're not one-to-one. Like, I consider myself a free woman. I can go somewhere and be medically and professionally and legally called a man, and that has nothing to do with my choice to be a woman. See what I mean? Like, my choice matters to me. It exists inside of me, inside of that context. But that doesn't mean that other circumstances don't influence it, don't affect that choice.
I didn't say that. Because when I said we make it so, what you do is you make it so. What the other person is, you make it so. What society does is make it so.
But the other person is making it not so, is my point.
Which is also possible. So I'm just
portraying
what real existence is.
We get to that level where there's an upper limit to what one person's choice means in contrast
that,
with the context
true. That
of
is
what's
true. That's everything that you say is true. Yeah. There's nothing what you said is not true.
I think the we make it so. The we in the sentence is
so should
what
I say
holds.
I make it so? Individually, when I say we, is kind of a each one of us make it so for our individual level, and then we grow that up into a community, we grow that up into a society, and then we grow that up into a humanity.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's all.
So fair does enough. Identity matter?
That's the question that's I would like to... Yeah.
Question of the day.
Answer.
Huh?
Answer.
For me, it doesn't matter. Because we basically, no matter how much, how do I explain this? Is like, in the grand scheme of things, your identity determines how you look at life and how you want life to look at you and how you want society to look at you, right? Am I wrong?
No, I would say that's correct.
I think, but it's like, I don't necessarily want society to look...
I know, I agree. But that's how it is.
Yes, so...
I agree with you.
It's... Identity, there's also this this idea. I forgot who...
When I say identity doesn't matter, it's not an attack on identity. Mm. It's just a statement.
What makes it not...
Are we getting to your
what
time?
Makes it not
you
matter?
You need to tell us.
What?
You need to tell us.
Well, this is where I was going with it anyway.
Okay, so you're
like
looking
an hour
at your
left.
Time.
We're good.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we were on track.
Yeah. So there's nothing in everything you both have said that I am against. When I said that's because it actually proves what I said. We make it so. We make that choice. We want to be seen the way we want to be seen. We want to be identified the way we want to be identified. I agree with that.
Explore further why it doesn't matter.
In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter because...
Because we're all going to die?
Well...
Because the universe is very big and we're very small?
Well, that probably is the biggest reason. Because
but again,
we're literally fighting for things that's not have... Well, an individual level, it you know, your self-satisfaction, self-fulfillment matters. But for me, in the greatest gram of things, we're fighting for little things. The earth is literally dying around us. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's like, a little bit of false equivalency.
Yes, it is. I agree. Yeah.
So but I think
I'm just.
I think that there's a level.
I come from this thinking that. People and humanity is fighting for Apple, for freaking, you know, and literally Earth is dying.
Mm.
That's where I'm coming from.
Why and you're objectively matter. Correct. Like, I do think that people do put a lot of value into, hey, I want this specific thing to be true, and I'm going to make it everybody's problem. You know, I'm going to ignore all these other things, but that's kind of not what the discussion is at this point, I would say. And I've said something in the car on the drive here that I'm going to bring back up, which is that, like, if you break all your fingers or you break both your arms, those are two very different injuries, but either way you can't write, right? Like, there are people starving and the universe is eventually going to fall into entropy and there are current ongoing crises and wars. And also understanding who you are is something that matters. And the fact that there is no like grand greater meaning, there is no, depending on your religious context, there is no specific ordained instructional task that says this matters more than this. Our choices do kind of influence that in a lot of ways. And on that, we're on the same page.
So the reason why, I guess now it's time for me to explain why I'm coming from this thinking.
Go
because
for it.
I came back to school thinking that I really had no reason to be here. Like, I was a retired guy. I have no fulfillment needs. I have no career needs. Because society has already done it for me. I fulfilled that side. But now I have to start thinking, well, it started with this class, human trafficking class, that, like, what is it really that matters in the bigger scheme of things about my existence? On what I can do for the remainder of my life.
You are set on the life purpose question of what are you doing with
your life? No, it's not about me. What is it really that at the end of the day, whether there's a creator or not, And if whether that creator will ask me or not, like, what have you done for that earth, for that life? Nothing to do with you. He or she will tell me, he will ask me, it's like, this is not about you, Ace. You know, it's about like, how was your life worth it to be in existence at that place?
And so you want your identity to be that of someone maybe worthwhile, that of someone kind,
Thank
that
you.
Of someone who has helped
Maybe
others.
That is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeking that, but...
I keep saying it's all interconnected. We're back here.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not arguing against you. I'm just saying that as that bigger scheme. In the bigger scheme of things, all these little things that we're fighting for doesn't mean anything.
But that's kind of the issue, is that for some people, they're not little things. For some people, everything, you know, has...
So that, I would say that would be me then. That would be my personal opinion.
No, very fair. And I mean, as part of the trans community, you know, identity is, to get very serious for a moment, identity is one of the things that matters so much to so many people that so many of us kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
You know, there's also, the suicide rates amongst trans youth are huge of that weight of undefined identity, of that weight of an inability to be the self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for me to say because I'm, you know, I already have a set identity as a man. And I understand. I understand,
It's differences in perspective.
And a part of like, because I think it's what matters, what doesn't certainly can be up to us. But the idea of like what fight matters, what humanitarian fight matters, I would like, in my opinion, all humanitarian fights matter. So when you have an identity such as me also being a part of the trans community, which is in itself a radical space. It takes, you know, it takes bravery. And also when you are trans, you demand that you be seen in a way by those who will. And it is radically different than the predisposed labels. And it's like it's kind of like a radical act. So within that identity, there is a humanitarian fight. Mm-hmm. Within that humanitarian fight, the basics of it is, hey, we exist as humans in very diverse ways. And that's why I would think, so we have the concepts of like, oh, what matters, what doesn't, how identity affects reality. But the concepts are always, the theoretical concepts are always embodied. So all of these identities, they affect us in reality and they affect our lives and the decisions we make with our lives.
I agree.
So certainly, in my mind, it matters. But it's funny because I feel like we both... agree on all of that, and then we just come to different conclusions.
There's also a phrase. There's also a phrase in my family that I really like, which is agreeing violently.
Did we really not? Did we really came up to a different conclusion? Because everything that
because my answer is yes, and your answer is no. However, we both agree on the life purpose and things.
The equation that got you there, yeah.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much. I don't even have to. I can just close my laptop.
Yeah.
I covered everything that I was had outlined, which was like morality and ethics, like that's rights and responsibilities.
We have 5 pages. What are you talking about?
Well, we haven't gotten to labeling yet.
Like, see?
Well, in that case, I have a perfect segue. Because we've been talking a lot about how labels are like a source of, we've talked a little bit about how they can be something limiting, something harmful in terms of how society can wield them as a tool, how people can wield them against each other. But we've also talked about labels as self-empowerment, labels as the choice of what you decide matters and who you decide to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a level of interlap where sometimes labels can be harmful. And there are labels that you put them on, that you put on yourself. And it's not, there's some very extreme examples out there. But one of the examples that comes to mind for me is how a lot of people in the LGBTQ plus scene will sometimes find a label and then tie themselves to that label because, oh, this is more accurate than it was before. It feels better. I'm more me than I've ever been before. Now I'm going to stop exploring who that is because now I have something to hold on to. Right. Like there's some people who are like, I mean, yeah, obviously, like some men are attractive, but I like 100% love women. And it's like you've created a label that's limiting your ability to think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you are creating an excuse as to why you consider men attractive. And like you can still identify as however you choose. But now you've tied yourself to that. And that can sometimes be
limiting.
Which
is why I love labels in the idea of it's just a word. the idea of a label is, yes, it is certainly, and also thinking of language, it is something that we love to put definitions to, but a definition can never embody full reality. Certainly not with labels. Okay. And I think there's always, like, in queer spaces and labeling and empowerment, it's like, it's a beautiful celebration of differences and also of once and who you are. And then also in that space, which I think many times there is lacking, but there's movement, there's fluidity, and there's certainly space for people to be people and those labels to grow. And you know what else this makes me think of? Like people pigeonholing themselves into labels? Tradwives.
I was literally going to go into religion next. Religion was the next thing I was going to touch on.
Tradwives.
So it's
traditional wives. It is.
It is an American Christian, primarily Christian, primarily far right movement, where you are defining yourself by like very, 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 very
gendered,
sort of caricature traditional version of it. Like you have to rely on your husband for everything. You don't have your own bank account. You don't make your own choices. It's in some ways a little biblical of like if the man is speaking, you don't speak. And yeah, sometimes religious identity can be something that really limits people as well, in the sense of, and I have like family members in my family, for example, we've switched to a couple different churches. We've gone, I don't go to church anymore, but we've gone from Catholic to Baptist to Methodist.
What's interesting here with the idea of traditional wives is people, of course, should be able to fit wherever they are happy. And if someone is happy under that label and chooses that life and chooses to express themselves like that, you know, fuck it. That's a celebration. You found yourself. However, I mean, there's obviously outside incomes of like the patriarchy and religious ideology that would push someone down the path of becoming wanting to become a traditional
wife. And now the label you've put on yourself is a tool for others and for yourself to limit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, I think that there must be space to say someone could make that choice, and say people do make that choice, you know?
Oh, I think it's a perfectly valid lifestyle. I just think that it kind of, I mean, we get into, again, definitions never being quite as definite as we think they are, right? Like a traditional wife and a trad wife, even though they're technically the same words, just abbreviated, those are not the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those is, I am falling into a pigeonhole of a conservative idea of what a wife should be. And the other one is, I have explored what I want out of a relationship, and it's this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say there is an overlap. It is to say that the identity being something that empowers you versus the identity being something that hurts you and limits you is a conversation worth having in those cases.
My question for that is, what if they're comfortable with that?
A lot of people are comfortable with abuse. A lot of people are comfortable with addiction. A lot of people are comfortable with self-harm. Comfort is not the defining state of whether something is good or not.
But you're coming, for me, that's a judgment value on something from, aren't they, because we talked a lot about choice earlier. They're free to make that choice. Who are we to say that that's a bad thing?
And again, I think that's where we come into.
We can say it's a bad thing, but it's still a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have freedom to say it's a bad thing.
But by putting the judgment of good or bad on it, that's when we create the label.
Now see,
exactly.
You brought up good and bad. I didn't say good and bad. I said empowering and limiting. If it's helping you be more of who you want to be more yourself, then I think that foundationally that is a label that is something beneficial. Because like good and bad, that's a moral argument. Good and bad changes with the tides. It changes with the days of the week and the days of the culture. But if we're talking about measurable changes in how happy you are, how fulfilled you are, who you are as a person, that's a different scenario.
I'll rephrase. I'm trying to remember where I was going.
A mother or a wife who's being abused by her husband but stays with her husband.
I was just... Back to the limited and empowered, who's that's from an outside perspective, is it not?
Not necessarily. If you are identifying for yourself what those things are, and it's your choice as it should be, then you're deciding whether it's empowering or limiting. And again, that's where I come into the difference between like the stereotypical mean trad wife versus a traditional wife. If you don't want to deal with money, If you are in love with someone that you trust, if you love being at home and taking care of things, if you want to have 10 kids, that is who you, that's who you're deciding to be. That's where you're deciding to go. That's, and if that's something that empowers and uplifts you, fucking go for it. But if it is something that is kind of locking other options and other possibilities and other thoughts away in your head, it's something that you're using to convince yourself that you're happy instead of make yourself, instead of like just becoming part of your happiness, then it's a different situation. And again, we go into choice and we go into how it's a personal identity. I cannot tell, generally speaking, at a glance, if someone is, oh, you've fallen down a pipeline and believe this is what you want versus, but oh, this is what you actually do.
That's the question that he has, like the judgment.
Yeah.
We judge when you see these people and you judge them. So does that give us a right to judge the person?
No, of course not.
And I also think...
But we still do it.
Here's what I will say. I think there's a limit to every level of judgment that you should enforce.
So is that what you were aiming for the body judgment?
I was just going... So I was trying to... I think when we put terms of like empowerment and limitation on... like you're empowering yourself or you're limiting yourself.
Put a binary on it, yeah.
Yeah. Even a not like not a binary on it, I think that in itself is a label. And if that in itself is a label, and by doing that, even if you, which is kind of where I was going with this, is so the theory in criminology is that you do a deviant act, it's labeled publicly as deviant.
Mm-hmm.
So society and the individual internalize that label and they see themselves as whatever that is. And then they engage in that further because that's now they're confirming that label.
Yeah.
But where I was looking at it from is who's to say, obviously society, like when we talk about like deviants and stuff, like, yeah, probably you shouldn't kill someone. Probably.
The probably carries a lot of weight on that one, but we'll go for it.
But just who's to, this is always the act of labeling something as deviant, I think has both benefits and downsides. But again, that's from that's personal judgment, outsider perspective. For them, it could be, this is my lifestyle.
And now we get into beautiful word. I love this word personally. Starts with a C. Context, baby. Because, again, that's where we run into it, right? Where I don't know at a glance. I see two people holding hands. I have no other context to explore. Like, with just that, just those two words that I said, I'm pretty sure everyone in this room and everyone listening started filling in blanks because there are a lot of blanks there. What color are the hair? What are they wearing? Where are they? Are they like also looking at each other? Are they holding hands in this pattern or that pattern? So it's, in my opinion, anything that's too reductive, that just says good or bad, that says if you act this way, you're this, if you act this way, you're that, that's always going to be a net negative because even though there are benefits to it, it's going to limit things going forward. Is that a little too rambly?
No, I...
Because we make it so.
Because we make it so.
That's the one sentence you're going to say over and over again.
It's a good sentence. In his defense, it is a good sentence.
It is
sentence.
A good sentence.
Let me go back to that. I can't do this. No, because it doesn't help us. Remember I said a woman abused by her husband decides to stay in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Is that her choice?
Certainly.
Is that because he does not have a choice?
It's...
But for us outside looking in, the assignation, is that the correct pronunciation? Assignment of terms, of labels, is now what determines how we associate this person.
And you know what?
We govern ourselves with the rules and laws that we think. And this is my point when I said we make it so. And so now, where do we go from that then? Because I'm okay, now you're gonna hate me. Because that woman accounted for 87%, if I remember it correct, who voted for Trump. I just jump you guys all. I jump on you guys all. I'm sorry.
Well, what's that statistic?
87% of the women voted for Trump were traditional wives. That's why I smiled at you earlier, because I was gonna not I gonna mean, do it, but now I did it. Now I'm sorry.
Well, I think that kind of gets into the difficulty of identity in the face of reality, because we get into the idea
thank
of
you.
Yeah, definition
so now,
in the face
what do
of
we
reality.
Do? What do we do now?
Let's go. Let's circle back around, and I am gonna keep this a little apolitical as I can.
No, you don't. This is no reservations here. That's why the title is irreverent.
That's entirely fair. Yeah. But I think there's a more universal example that you used, which is the abused woman, right? Mm-hmm. Like the abused woman who stays with the partner. And then we get into like, that is a definition. That is an abused woman. That is an identity that you have. But then we also get into like...
But is that woman abused? She's happy to be there.
Well, okay.
I think that, again, we get into comfort versus reality, because it being something
also,
that you're choosing doesn't make it something else.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think the even when I say that she has a choice, it's interesting, because I think that immediately comes with a judgment of self-blame. However, that choice, resting in that choice, are severe and possible situations of a woman that could maybe escape. What is she sacrificing? What could she lose? What is at risk?
That's,
that choice becomes incredibly.
Does she have money? Does she have skills
does
she that
have
she,
kids?
That's my point.
She
can use?
Does
she have family? Does
that's
she have
the reason why
there?
I have a problem with this, not with this discussion, but with this overall American situation, because, you know, like, oh, she has a choice. No, we don't know that.
You don't know how hard that choice is, and you don't know why she is making that choice to stay.
Sorry about that.
And
not
also,
at all.
That's not a sorry situation.
The reason why I brought it up was because that decision by this percentage of people is now going to affect.
Yeah, and then we get into individual versus societal choice again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So because we make it so. Don't hate me.
I had an example I was thinking of, and then it slipped away. I'm sorry.
That was pretty much what I had planned for the most part. I think
got 40
we have
more
not
Let's
been to labeling.
Hmm?
You said labeling.
I mean, I kind of talked about it earlier. Do you want me to just? I feel like
that's fine.
I feel like people have the general concept of the theory is that.
Could I have
individuals identify and behave in ways that reflect. With how they label themselves or how others label them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's
that's the theory.
Two resulting situations.
Obviously,
yes.
I know it from a criminology perspective because that's what I do.
Right. But criminology has no relevance to identity.
No, none at all.
Or society or anything. Any kind of label.
Yeah.
So real quick, do you guys remember that super weird metaphor I did about the AI a minute ago? I'm going to do a weirder one. You're welcome.
That was not AI.
What about the falling tower? That was forever ago at this
point.
That
was AI.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's talking about an AI model.
So no.
I know. That was an Isaac Asimov.
It was
you
not.
Just,
I swear.
I
promise.
You guys literally plagiarized Isaac Asimov.
Ah. If I did Isaac,
story.
I apologize. I have so much respect for you Mr.
Need,
Asimov.
You need, because it's literally the same story about the robot being told to make a fake son, because... The sun was failing, you know, and it just kept people just asking, so what?
Oh, no, I know that story.
Asimov
is...
Yes.
It's a different example at this point, but I am going to say real quick, if you guys are ever interested, there's an Isaac Asimov short story where they build a supercomputer and ask it to solve the problem of entropy. And it's just kind of a progressive state of them asking it over and over and over and changing more and more and more. But the metaphor I was going to use was... if the only way you have to talk to someone is through writing with ink on a piece of paper, it's what do you do if you don't have words?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're going with like, and again, I told you this is weird. I'm looping it back in though. If you're going into like, oh, it's not right to be like using these labels because they're not accurate. These labels and these ideas and these descriptions, they're never going to really fully capture the entire scenario of what's going on. But that's just kind of a limitation of human existence at this point, right? And if you are trying to describe a hot room and you're sending a letter, that letter isn't going to carry temperature. That letter is going to carry ink and words. And if I'm trying to describe a human being, I'm not going to be able to transmit my understanding or a foundational understanding of that human being perfectly to you. I can only use my words and my body language and the place we are at that moment. So there's a certain level where it's like a lot of what has been said today is, hey, these identities and these labels and these definitions are limited. They're limited things. And I kind of have to come around with the fact that, yeah, they are limited things. Yeah, they don't work perfectly. And it's a trick of using an imperfect tool. Because we're not, like, this same tool is not going to just become perfect if we're a little more mindful.
And this tool will still exist.
Yeah, language, the thing that we use to define things, to define each other, to define ourselves, words are an imperfect vessel for an impossibly complex existence that most of us barely understand the surface level of. But they're the best we've got when it comes to sharing those concepts with each other. So sometimes it's just about accepting that, yeah, there's going to be limitations. Like, I'm a trans woman. I am not the same as every other trans woman in the world. We are, many of us, and I would say almost all of us, very unique creatures with a unique perspective. Some people, it's like, I was never a man. I was always a woman. Other people, I became a woman because it fit me better and because this was what I needed to be. You know, so we always run into limitations with words and always run into limitations with identity and labels.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting, though, because it's like certainly, even with my own gender identity, I'll take that as an example. It's something of like, for I have an understanding, certainly, that it's like these terms, feminine and masculine, those are concepts that do not hold like perfect definitions, nor will they ever, because it is like, for one, it is individualized and very, very different, like depending on the person. And for two, you can't grasp all of humanity in a label. And that thing will always, always be evolving. However, with that concept of like, okay, all these labels are imperfect and they don't really matter and they're all really messy, those labels still very, very much affect reality. So even though this idea of femininity is so unchangeable and ungraspable, right? We can't get that full definition. It still has so much repercussions just by the definition of it. So it's like, okay, we have these concepts. These concepts are concepts, yet these concepts are still so ingrained in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So both. Paradox. Ouroboros.
We run into, again, that issue of labels and definitions and identities being boxes sometimes. And I think when they're being boxes, they're not necessarily as helpful as they can be. It's good if you want some structure. Good if you want a box.
I do kind of think, though, I think labels are both empowering and limiting.
Yeah, I think if you're using it as a box to box yourself in, then it's not going to be something that's helpful or beneficial to you. If you're using it as a guideline to help you understand who you are, that's a different scenario.
But it's like, me being trans doesn't really help me, you know?
Doesn't that really matter?
No, it matters to me. I'm just in my definite, yes.
Trying to get to.
However, even though it's a self-empowerment thing, this will limit me forever for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If I transition, I may be respected at a job. I may not be. I may, you know what I mean? There's actual reality of like, this will limit me despite it being a celebration. So it's like, for me, we have all these labels. All of them have the pros and cons of whether or not they're empowering, what are they limiting, who are, like, and then that gets into the thing of like, okay.
I think the ultimate journey to be the best you that you can be, to be yourself, the most that you yourself can be, is to find stuff that works in the context inside you. You know, like, again, I still get misgendered most places that I go.
Soul? Subconscious?
A little bit, maybe, but more about you in definition to yourself versus you in definition to the world.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? A good question I ask myself, and this is like a philosophical question, of how, what does it mean to be human if you weren't taught to be human? Who would you be? If you weren't taught there was one certain way to look, if you weren't taught that there was one certain way to be, one certain way to hold yourself.
I'm just going to be an entity.
How would you be human? Without any boundaries.
I don't really assign that anyway. So
Fun story, I believe in aliens, so I think it should be personhood, not humanhood.
We have had conversations about that.
I think something interesting, too, is that... I guess my final question, we've talked a lot about labels and identity being both empowering and limiting.
And limiting.
Mm.
That there, is, yeah, that's a
good are they necessary?
You have to bring that up.
Now, why that not? Is a good question.
We got 30 more minutes.
I know, but what I'm saying, you have to bring it up. That's what I said.
Because
I get in trouble for saying it doesn't matter.
It's almost like, certainly in a perfect world, what is also deemed necessary? What does necessary mean?
I guess I would agree with you. I don't think they matter. I think they have purpose and they're necessary.
That's different. Purpose and matter is different. That's why I don't disagree with them, because they have it has a purpose for whatever, everything that they say.
I guess
it meets their purpose.
Correct.
Yes.
I think I'm coming at it, I'm trying to take a more, we've talked a lot individually and we've talked a lot about the implications for the individual, but from a societal standpoint, do they matter? They serve a purpose.
Society, it matters still.
Yeah.
Humanity is different. I'm coming from the humanity side.
Mm-hmm.
I like that separation.
Yeah, there is a big difference. Society, it matters a lot.
Again, I'm going to bring it up.
The sufferings that they go through in society because of our innate, I keep using that word today. I used that this morning too. Yes.
It's a good word. Good vocab.
That innate subjugation of people who doesn't identify with what society's already come up with for the last thousands of years. That matters.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I'm talking about when I said
humanity, maybe labels are unnecessary, right?
Yes.
However, I'm
hoping for that.
Again, we get into, you know, money isn't real, but money is very real.
Yeah.
We have created a system where we say that this piece of paper matters this much.
I'm going to bring this subject now that maybe this is how we end, is that...
Let's hear it.
For the person who is a victim of human trafficking...
Mm.
And this just came up in my class, actually. It does not matter to that person where the money is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because that money is allowing that person to feed her children, her children's children, or herself.
Mm.
And there's people asking, like, how could you get your child to become, to be prostituted to an adult lecturer? And for us looking in, it's like, what a horrible person. But for that person itself, and now we're talking about choice, like we always say, oh, but you have a choice. Even I said that. I said, why can't you just prostitute yourself? Why do you have to use your child?
There's consequences to choice, and not all of them are going to lead to the outcome you want.
So I'm not passing a judgment. I'm just saying, I'm just doing an observational, like questions, like, what is it? What does that do with us?
Once again,
because all the academics studying this topic,
yeah,
and we're looking at certain people around the world. You know, this just drives me crazy every time at class. And it's like, this is your solution. You don't know what's going on in that little town over there. You're an outsider coming in. Mm-hmm. You have your
context.
You have your 5 minute. What did I say that last time? Your 5 minute fame. Yeah, I said you have. It happens. This is a past experience that we had with their group that went to the Philippines, and somebody was like, "I'm so proud that I took away that kid away from a trafficker," and then she goes home and ate her avocado toast. But that kid is gonna be back at that spot, or actually being moved from that spot because that spot is now considered not
it's
safe.
It's compromised.
Yeah, it's compromised. Yeah, and I talked to an agent who was in that place, not in the same city that you were, and they were like, if there is an active human trafficking activity going on in that hotel, I can assure you, Sylvester, that we have a DEA agent watching that. Because they don't want to catch that little girl or her mother. They want to catch the people that are running the show.
Mm.
But now you disrupted that. Now we got to start from scratch.
I think that kind of... I do think there's reason to be proud of like, oh, I helped someone a little bit, but it's also, you're talking about the difference between like, oh, I walked in and I did such a good thing and now it's done forever and it's always good.
That's literally
good.
How she describes herself. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and it's and that's a different part
of the story though. If there was like a real danger at that moment from the trafficker, that tourist, that student who did that could have been harmed, could have been killed, could have been injured, could have been stabbed.
It could have made things worse.
And so what happens, the State Department takes over, you guys all go home. Worse, that parent of that student who got hurt because who wants to be a hero is going to sue Mason. And it's going to sue the instructor because they're not going to say, they're not going to stop and ask that, oh, it was my little girl who was trying to be, you know, the goody-goody. That's a bad word, and maybe I shouldn't say that. But they're going to say that, what did you do, instructor? You were supposed to protect the students.
Again, we get into context and choice, yes. Right?
And so this is the reason why I bring this up.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we kind of come back around to what you were saying earlier of, like, how we exist in practical terms as a society, as beings of consequence with each other versus what we exist as beyond that, you know? And it's like, again, soul, me, iffy if it exists or not, I just don't have enough proof either way, but I do know that, you know, human beings are one of the only sapient creatures in existence. We are one of the only beings that looks at the stars in wonder.